Now, unbelievably, it is October already. And I am talking once again to Mel Shanley of Quantum Life down there in Dungarvan about... Mel, break the news. What are we talking about today?
The fantastically exciting highlight of everyone's weeks, pensions.
It's one of those subjects, isn't it? Where it has to be spoken about, and it has to be dealt with, but everybody goes, oh, pensions.
Yeah. It's like that elephant in the room that nobody likes discussing. But they know at some stage they're going to have to discuss it, and that's it, full stop, you know. But yeah, it's that time of year again where people that are self-employed or company have firms or sole traders in particular that are coming up to the 31st of October. Their accountants now at this stage are starting to ask them questions about what they did last year and all the rest of it, you know.
And why, I don't know if I ever asked you this before, but why is it the date October the 31st? Why that particular date?
That's a fantastic question. And somebody someplace, if you remember back in the day, the tax year used to be April to April. And then it merged with the calendar year of January 1st to New Year's Eve. And October 31st, I don't actually know the exact answer for why October 31st was the filing deadline. And even that's moved now with modern technology, the online filing with revenue, and that now it's moved into mid-November even for some people. So, but traditionally October 31st was always set as the pay and file deadline for people that were self-employed or sole traders, you know.
So if you're self-employed and you're listening to this at the moment, what are the things you need to start getting ready before the end of the month?
Well, I suppose, like, again, look, we've come through a traumatic period in the last few years, and not everybody is in a position to consider pensions. Some people are in a position to just barely hang in there and get from week to week, and we understand that. But unfortunately, in this country, there is no other tax-efficient way to save for retirement except to put money into a revenue-approved pension plan. Okay, so what you'll find at the moment is that, and everybody will be doing lastminute.com because I've seen it for over 30 years, accountants are screaming for, you know, proof of income for last year, receipts, what did you spend the money on, can you prove that it was spent for business purposes, was that personal drawings, you know, what are allowable expenses, what are not allowable expenses, and then of course they'll draw a line under the end of it and they'll say, right, you had a profit in 2021, or no, you had a loss. So if you had a profit in 2021, however big or small the profit might be, you know, the only way you can reduce the tax bill on that profit is to make a contribution into the pension.
So this typically would be timed then, so where if people have lump sums, if people are lucky enough to have lump sums, now is the time to start thinking about investing those into pensions, isn't it?
Yeah, but you'd want to be careful too, because like there is a bit of, I mean, look, I've been advising on pensions, as I said, for over 30 years. However, you know, sometimes the trade-off between getting some tax relief on the way in to the pension and the tax you pay on the way out, sometimes it's argued that, look, I'm not so sure if this is the best place to put my money. However, again, as I say, you know, there is no other vehicle really that you can save long-term for retirement where you can get, you know, 40% of a rebate or a credit against your contribution. So again, you know, talk to your advisors, talk to your accountants and that, because they will be able to calculate exactly how much you should contribute to maximize the tax relief that you will get on that contribution. So again, it mightn't be everyone's cup of tea, and some people might look at pensions and say, look, they're a waste of time because, you know, there's no guarantee of any return, and, you know, if the markets collapse, I could lose some or all of my money and all those kind of things. But, you know, there are capital protected pensions in the Irish marketplace now, and people should educate themselves about those. They're very, very helpful to make sure that people don't lose all their money, you know. So it can be complicated. And look, we joked at the start that pensions are boring and they're annoying, and you know, people get caught up in the kerfuffle around the language used around pensions and how they're described and the legislation and tax relief and all kinds of things. And most people just throw their hands up in the air and say, look, you know, let the accountant decide. But you need to understand yourself the purpose and the meaning behind it. It is a revenue-approved savings plan that's designed to provide an income for you in retirement. That's basically what a pension is. So the more that you can contribute to that pension, the more of an income in retirement you're going to have. But obviously, and here's the punchline, there's no point in contributing to a pension unless you're paying tax. Absolutely no point whatsoever. So that would be the message we'd be sending out this month, is that yes, it is pension season. You know, there's insurance companies and financial services firms all over the country now getting their ads ready and getting their blurb out there online and in the post and in the newspapers and that. But at the end of the day, it's very, very simple. Do you pay tax? And if you do, can you afford to contribute to a pension? Because if you can, you will alleviate some of the blow in that tax, and you'll get some tax credits for what you contribute to the pension.
For anyone that's listening to this, Mel, and I know it is a question that people do often wonder about, if your partner has been paying into a pension scheme and unfortunately passes before they reach retirement age, what happens to the pension in that case?
Yeah, well, in most instances, so for example, if they were a self-employed person of some description, and God forbid they die, they get hit by a bus tomorrow morning, 101% of the value of that fund at the time of their death will be paid over to the spouse or the next of kin, almost like a life assurance policy. That's how that works, okay? Now, if they happen to be in a company pension, so let's say, for example, your spouse worked in one of the factories in Little Island, for example, and they were there for 15 years and they were part of what we call a defined benefit scheme, right? More than likely, there would be a thing called a debt in service paid. So usually in the factory schemes, as we call them, there would be a life assurance built into the pension. So it might be twice or three or four times salary. So again, God forbid your spouse gets hit by a bus tomorrow morning, the scheme at work would pay out a lump sum life assurance, typically two to three times final salary. And also there would be a figure put on the pension value at the time of their death. Now, that could be tricky in that they may not get that pension until your spouse would have reached retirement, or they might actually be offered a transfer value of what their fund would have been the day they died. So definitely, you know, it can be complicated, but it is relatively straightforward. And again, get on to your advisor, get on to your accountant, anyone that you think that can help you. If that situation arrives at your door, it's very straightforward once you have the right people advising you.
Yeah, and we do always say that. Don't assume the answer. Go away and pick up the phone and ask somebody what the story is. Mel, as always, thanks, Mel. So we leave it with that message, in that when it comes to pensions, be you self-employed, you're paying into a company pension or it's a personal pension, whatever it may be, always seek the right financial advice first.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mel.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.